Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Public disturbances seem to arise whenever and wherever the gospel is preached in the book of Acts. And that's among both Jews and Gentiles alike. We read how in Ephesus the devotees of the goddess Artemis rioted because the good news preached by the Apostle Paul was turning a great many people away from idolatry. In Thessalonica, we read that the Jews set the city in an uproar because of their jealousy that people were being persuaded that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. And there in Thessalonica, the charge was leveled against Paul and his co-workers. These men have turned the world upside down. In a fallen, sin-sick world, where evil is often called good and good evil, the truth seems so very foreign and so very disruptive when it comes, even turning the status quo upside down. And this is not just a modern issue, though we see more and more how the truth of God's word opposes and contradicts the lies of the world. This was the case back in the Old Testament. Jeremiah came preaching repentance, warning the people of God's wrath, urging them to relent from their wickedness, promising that God would relent from his wrath. And in return, he was accused of evil and threatened with death. It happened in the New Testament. It happened to Jesus himself. He came casting out demons, only to be met with skepticism, and yes, even accusations that he was in league with the devil himself. The truth of the Christian message is very disturbing to a fallen world. It does seem to turn things upside down. The reason is, under the devil, the world enjoys a false sort of peace, a false security, one that leads only to eternal condemnation. But Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came to conquer the devil, that we might have true peace and everlasting rest in him. In our gospel lesson today, after being accused of casting out demons by Satan's power, Jesus tells a little parable, which begins when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. And so it is under the devil and the kingdom he founded. The devil is a sort of lord. That's what Beelzebul means, lord of the flies. He is the prince of demons. Jesus even calls him on several occasions the ruler of this world. And he guards his own palace, that is, this fallen world. And he enjoys a security of sorts. His house, his kingdom, is not divided against itself. Though, to be sure, on observation, there are many corners and facets to that house. In that kingdom, there is this false religion and that one, or no religion at all. There is this secular philosophy and that atheistic worldview and many others. But all of these are part of the same household, the same kingdom. They may externally appear to be at odds, maybe even in conflict, but in reality, they are united under one king, the devil. In some ways, Satan possesses his kingdom in even greater peace and security, the more his subjects betray and harm each other. And in his secure palace, his goods are literally at peace. In the devil's kingdom, men are his plunder, his treasure, his possession. Not only does he claim humanity for himself, by nature, humanity is the devil's willing and obedient slaves. This is true of all people. Yes, even you at one time. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh." A few chapters later, as we heard this morning, we were once darkness. So we also confess in the baptismal liturgy that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil. Like the mute man in today's gospel, who according to Matthew's account was also blind, we in our sin were incapable of knowing or praising God. Yes, in the devil's kingdom, there is a false peace. The strong man, Satan, guards his own palace, and he does so even leisurely. He's fully armed, and no human being can take his goods from him. His prey cannot be taken from his might, nor can captives be rescued from his tyranny. He trusts his armor. Temptation, lies, sin, condemnation, the fear of death. And he has full confidence in his allies, the sinful flesh of all people, the world with its cares and riches and pleasures, and especially those who teach and preach ungodly religions and false doctrines. In fact, in Satan's kingdom, not only do things seem peaceful, they also appear outwardly very beautiful. The devil makes sin his armor, very attractive and easy, insignificant and pleasing. But in reality, it's only an empty shadow and a whitewashed grave. For that's where his kingdom ends, after all, in the grave and in hell for eternity. The devil's peace is false, it is a sham, and it is exceedingly brief. For the wrath of God will come upon him and upon all those who are under him. So Jeremiah warned the people of Judah that God's wrath would be poured out on the unrepentant, that he would make the city desolate without inhabitant. Paul also writes that the sons of disobedience and those who do those works unrepentantly, like sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, which is idolatry, that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. But instead, God's wrath will come upon them. This is the end of Satan's kingdom. This is the end of his subjects. Now, as we've learned in a recent Bible study on the doctrine of heaven and hell, God prepared hell, the place of eternal torment, for the devil. He prepared that place for his evil angels, not for man, for God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Nevertheless, those who ally themselves with the devil, those who are content to be his possession, those who delight in living under his kingdom, in his palace, enjoying his false peace, they will share that terrible fate for all eternity. They will burn in the unquenchable lake of fire. But God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why Jesus came to earth, to attack and overcome the devil and to take his captives from him. So he continues in that little parable, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away the armor in which he trusted and he divides his spoil. In Christ, the kingdom of God has come, and it has come upon you. As he says, he has not come to bring peace but a sword. He has come as a mighty warrior. We hear each week during the first three Sundays in Lent how the Son of God appeared in order to destroy the works of the devil, how he disarmed the ruler of this world and put him to open shame by triumphing over him. And really, this battle is no contest at all. Jesus calls the devil a strong man, but Christ himself is the stronger man, perfectly strong, omnipotent. No man could overcome the devil, but the Son of God, the Son of Man, could and did. He did in the wilderness, rebuking Satan three times and driving him away with the word of God. He did in the district of Tyre and Sidon, healing the daughter of a Canaanite woman whose who was severely oppressed by a demon. He did, in the presence of a great crowd of both followers and enemies, casting a demon out of a poor man who had been rendered mute and blind. Jesus overcame the devil, and as he says, he did so by the finger of God, that is, the Spirit of God, with ease. We sang a couple weeks ago, one little word can fell Satan. So also one little finger of God can defeat him. There's no comparison at all between God and the devil. This is not a conflict between equals. This is not good balanced by evil, no. God is all-powerful. The devil most assuredly is not. The devil is entirely under God's feet. And this is proven conclusively when Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil once and for all. He did this, as he said, by taking away the armor in which he trusted. Death and condemnation, the fear of which Satan used to keep all mankind in his chains, became the very means by which Satan was bound and defeated. For Christ became man in order to free men from Satan's kingdom. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He suffered the condemnation for all humanity's sin, earning the well-deserved wages, punishments of both body and soul on the tree of the cross. His bitter suffering and death was a heated battle with the devil. In Gethsemane, as he sweat blood in agony, he was plagued by the devil himself. On Golgotha, the Lord Jesus not only suffered in his body the tortures of the cross, the nails, the thorn, the thirst, but he suffered in his soul all the flaming darts of the evil one. And yet this fierce conflict resulted in Christ's glorious victory, an eternal victory over Satan and his kingdom. Through death, Jesus has destroyed the one who held the power of death, that is, the devil. And he delivered those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. It's through humiliation, suffering, shame, condemnation, and death that Jesus Christ has won the victory, that Christ destroyed the stronghold of the devil and took away the armor in which he trusted. But that's only part of it. For as Jesus taught, when the stronger man overcomes the strong man, he divides the spoil. That is, he claims for himself you, your body and soul. He leads you with a host of captives out of the devil's palace into the kingdom of God. In his passion, Jesus took upon himself your disobedience. He covers you now with his perfect obedience. With his blood and righteousness, Jesus silences all the devil's accusations against you. No longer can Satan claim you to be his plunder, for the Son of God has taken on himself all your death, all your condemnation, all that you deserved. He endured the torture, the death, the cross, hell itself, and outlasted and overcame the terror and agony of hell. Satan exhausted himself on the Holy One of God. He now has no strength. Therefore, he has no claim on you. As Jesus once freed the mute man from the demon's oppression, so the Son of God has set you free indeed, free from Satan's tyranny. Christ Jesus did this all for you because he loves you, so that he was willing to give himself up for you. Because he loves you, he has made you, who were once darkness, now children of God, light in the Lord. He has made you alive together with him. You who were once dead in your trespasses, by grace you have been saved through faith. Christ has claimed you, who were conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil. He's claimed you as his own. You would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for your sin and the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yes, Jesus Christ has come has conquered the devil, and in him there is true, eternal peace and rest for you. But Jesus gives a warning after this little parable, a warning about neutrality. He says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Jesus Christ purchased and won you from all sins and from death and from the power of the devil, that you would be his own, that you would live under him in his kingdom, that you would serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He did not purchase and win you so that you would be back to square one, that you would start off with a clean slate, that you would have freedom or independence to choose now what to do. No. He purchased and won you with his holy, precious blood that you would be his own. And therefore he calls you to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. This again seems to turn the world upside down. This again seems very foreign and disruptive in a fallen world. For even now, in you, dear Christian, the old Adam, the sinful flesh, longs to return to those old works and ways of the devil, seeking that false sham peace. There is a fake comfort, a fake security for the flesh there. And so just like the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, longed for the meat pots of Egypt, so the flesh still at times longs for the devil and his works and his ways, thinking in that place there may be peace. But there is not. Dear Christians, there is no peace for you in sin. There is no security for you under the devil. Indeed, Jesus says, for such a person, the last state is worse than the first. Having tasted the heavenly gift, having shared in the Holy Spirit, would you fall away from God's glorious kingdom back into the kingdom Satan founded? Would you leave behind the true peace and rest of God the Father in order to find fake security under the devil? Would you, under Satan, find comfort and ease? Maybe for a time, yes. But only for the briefest of times. And after that comes everlasting darkness, fire, agony, and forsakenness. Be on guard, Christians, and that's the message of this first half of the season of Lent. For the tug is there. It's there in your old Adam, the sinful flesh. It's there from the world. It's certainly there from the devil and his demons. And that's why the church on earth, and you as members of the church on earth, remain militant. We remain the church that fights, the church that battles, the church that wages war against the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, no. But we wrestle against sin and death and hell. With might of ours, this cannot be done. But as you fight, you have been given an armor in which you must trust. That is the armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the readiness given by the gospel of peace for your shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. By these you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. By these you are able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. As long as you live as a Christian in flesh and blood in this fallen world, you will have no lack of sin and trouble. For the truth that has saved you seems very upside down to the world around you. And the ruler of this world will do whatever he can to reclaim you as his spoil. And not just violently, although he will do that at times, but he will even whisper very sweetly to you, promising comfort, promising security, promising peace in his kingdom. Renounce him. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith. Listen to the voice of your true Lord, the only Lord, Jesus Christ. For even today he calls to you again, saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Christ alone, there is true, lasting rest. In Christ alone, there is true peace that passes all understanding, that has no end. In Christ alone, there is security. And in Christ alone, the church that now on earth is militant will someday be, and is even now in heaven above, the church triumphant, the church at rest. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.